How you guys doing? Is that for real? Let me tell you a little something about me. I'm sleep deprived. Yesterday I was hand washing some dishes as my dishwasher dishwashed dishes, and I'm scrubbing plates, and water starts falling from above. My guest bathroom is leaking water down into the main floor, and I touch the ceiling and things crumble in. I wake up this morning to go make my coffee, my morning ritual. My grinder, I push the button, and it's this beautiful Bodum conical grinder, if you coffee spazzes want to know. You do. That's a good one, right? Yeah. I push the button and it goes burp, burp. Push the button again and it goes burp. Not grinding any coffee. I start desperately turning dials and turning the grinder settings and dumping coffee out and trying to manually turn the wheel if something has gotten stuck, if somehow there is a rock of a coffee bean in there that cannot be destroyed by a conical grinder. I've never met a coffee bean yet. And I hung my head in shame. And I reached for my blade grinder, the old school, right? This is when I was kind of getting into coffee spasdom. And I reached for my blade grinder and I pour what I thought I remembered the amount of coffee beans in. And I grind and I pour it into my French press. And I cannot press that thing down for the life of me because there's so much coffee in it. And I was mad. Fortunately, the microwave was able to heat my frittatas. I'm high class. In case you don't know what a frittata is, it's an egg with some spinach in it, some kind of protein. I believe there's ham in these, some homemade salsa that my wife makes, and cheese. And I sit at the table and I said, I just need to read my teaching. And then I look at the reminder of the ceiling and the wall that's crumbling in on itself due to water damage coming down from the second floor. And I started getting real mad. Now I know some of you have stories that trump my story this morning, because you actually have things that matter in your world. Life, people, illnesses of people in your life, illnesses that you may carry. And I started getting mad and I just said, I'm just going to read my teaching and get out of here. Read through it for today and just go. And God said, no, you're going to shut up and sit down. Yep. You're going to take time, and you're going to do your morning liturgy. I didn't want to hear from him because I wanted to stew. God, just let me be pissed. Just let me be mad. And I start reading my morning liturgy, and I found out it's not about me. Yeah, right? And then in the grand scheme of things, I'm okay. I'm not in trouble, and the kingdom is not in trouble. And that I have things to be thankful for. And then in my morning liturgy, there's space to pray for others. So my prayers began, and my prayers did not go as planned, because it just ended up being thank yous to God. And I just said, thank you for, I always start with my wife and my children. And then I move on to my staff here and my volunteers here. Anybody that puts their hand to the plow here. And I start thanking God for all the people that aren't necessarily involved here, but you show up. God, thank you. Thank you for inviting me into this mission. Thank you for inviting me into this. God, that you didn't leave me out of this, that you called me into something greater than myself. I started reading through Chronicles, And I got past the crappy part of Chronicles where it just lists a bunch of names. If anybody wants to do like memory work, that's a place to start. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 1. Just memorize every name that's there, okay? And I start seeing David's accounts being recounted, as I've already read about it in Kings, and kind of I get upset when I read Chronicles because it's just the same thing as Kings. And I'm like, I already read this crap. Let's just fast forward. Let's get into the New Testament, right? And I start reading David's prayers again, only this time they actually meant something to me. God, thank you. Thank you. And then I started reading 1 Corinthians. It was a busy morning. And then my phone alerts me at 8 that I am to pray for my life transformation group every morning. And I begin to thank God for the people that I'm in community with, for the people that I'm looking to God with, the people that I'm confessing sin, bearing my soul to. And I'm thanking God for the people in their world and the people that we're praying for, that they would know Jesus, that they would see Jesus, that they would own and be able to know the joy that we possess, that they would say yes to the same things that we're saying yes to within this Jesus-following life. And I drank the last swig of grounds, and I walked out the door and hopped into Caleb's truck, and he said, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. No, I didn't. But that was my morning. And I'm excited to be here with you this morning. Because make no mistake, you're not here by accident. You're not here because your spouse invited you. You're not here because your boyfriend or girlfriend made you get out of bed. You're not here because you feel guilty. You might feel those things, but that's not why you're here. You're not here because of the great coffee that we serve. Folgers Black Silk. Talk to me. Come on. It's rich. It's bold. It's warm and it's brown. That's all you need to know, okay? Anything beyond that. You're here on purpose, for a purpose. 2,020 years ago, Jesus was crucified. Prior to that, he walked this earth for 33 years-ish. And he spoke and he lived as God here on earth. And he told us how this thing should look. He told us how this life should be. He told us how things actually work within kingdom living here and now. Craig, thank you so much, Aldridge, for your communion message. He told us how to bring the kingdom here and now. He told us things like love one another. Not just love one another, not just love those that love you, but forgive one another when there's an offense made. Not just forgive those that love you, but love your enemies. Feed them a meal. Bring them in. Invite them into your house. Enemies. Enemies. He taught us how to see one another in the context of how He, God, sees us. He taught us to look to God individually. And He taught us to look to God communally, together, as the church, as the body of Christ. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to be. And we killed Him for it. We said, no, we don't think that's it. We're not going to follow what you say. And we crucify Him. We slaughter Him in the most demeaning way. We beat Him. We destroy Him, hoping that He will go away when He's destroyed, right? Not listening to any more of this. And it was on April Fool's Day. No, not really. It was on April Fool's Day. No. So He then beats death. He does everything that He said He came to do, He did. Everything that was prophesied about Him in the Old Testament, you're talking hundreds of years of history. You're talking all these prophecies, they begin to be fulfilled, and how he was going to come back. He was going to conquer death. He was going to be this reigning king, and he does. He gets crucified. He's gone for 3 days. I want to know. I want to pick his brain when I get to heaven. God, what did you do? What'd you do for those 3 days? And he raises again, conquering death. And he shows up in these miraculous ways. And the lives of these people that have written their accounts down within Scripture. And he cooks his disciples breakfasts on the beach. He has a great talk with a guy named Peter. And he asks, "Do you love me?" 3 times he asks Peter this question. And Peter, if you know anything about Scripture, had denied Jesus 3 times the night he was taken and beaten and hung on a cross. He denied him. "I don't know the man. I don't know him. I don't know him." And Jesus just asked the simple question, "Do you love me?" Peter said, yeah, of course I love you. Love me some Jesus. Some of that's you this morning. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. What does he tell him to do? Bible scholar, help me out. "Feed my sheep." He asks him again, "Hey, Peter, do you love me?" What does he tell him to do? "Feed my sheep." He asks him a 3rd time, and by this time, Peter's getting upset. Have you ever been asked like a question 3 times by your spouse? And you've already answered it twice? This never happened to me. He asks him a 3rd time. And Peter says, "Man, you know. Yeah, I love you. You know I love you." And what does Jesus say? "Feed my sheep." Now, what you need to know is Jesus was an entrepreneur who had this huge sheep farm. No, he didn't have a sheep farm. He's talking about us. He's talking about all these people that need to know what he taught, what he lived, what he breathed, what he said in regards to right relationship with him, what he said in regards to bringing the kingdom here and now. As it is in heaven, bring it here. Do it here. Feed my sheep. Tell people about me. Feed them things that actually matter, not food per se, but that can help. Feed them. They're hungry. That implies that there's a world that's hungry out there. That implies that there's sheep, people that need what we have. Jesus says, "You're welcome for the breakfast. Peace out. I'm gone. I give you my Holy Spirit. He's going to help you feed this sheep. He's going to help you do everything that you think you can't do." And we get to 2020. We get to this day in February. And you're sitting in Whitewater Christian Church. After he has this message on the beach and he takes off and gives his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit shows up as Jesus said it would. Weird how when he said things, like things actually happened. Holy Spirit shows up like he said it would, and this massive thing happens with these thousands of people, and what they heard was their need for a Savior. What they heard was, you know what? There's a life that's better than the life you're living now. It's great that Jesus came to save you, but that ain't the end. That ain't the it. So they hear this message. These sheep get fed. These sheep get full. They hear this message, and this is what they said. "Now when they heard this in Acts, they were cut to the heart and said to" who? Peter. The same man that had to answer the same question 3 different times. "I love you, then feed my sheep. I love you, then feed my sheep. I love you." Then Peter, man, you got to feed him. The same guy that he had this conversation with. "They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent Repent. Know your wrong standing with your Creator. And be baptized. Enter this process of being sheep feeders. Repent. Look, man, all this stuff that you carried in here, your crappy day, your leaky house, your coffee grounds, where you have bigger issues than I've got, sin issues, whatever it is, repent of these things. These things are understandable. These things are going to be in your world, but they don't matter now. Jesus wants them. Jesus is going to take them. And there's a life waiting for you that you can have. Repent and be baptized. Enter into it, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as these apostles did 2,020 years ago, right? For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him. And he, Peter, testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Do you love Jesus? Then feed his sheep. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They heard the good news. They responded. And what we see from that beginning point is they couldn't wait to hear more. They're hungry. They're hungry. God, this life, yeah, I'm hungry for it. God, this life, yeah, I want it. God, this life, now I need that. It makes sense to me. So they start with learning. They devote themselves to teaching. They devote themselves to fellowship, being in community with one another. And they devote themselves to eating. Best religion ever. Right? They devote themselves to eating. They go on. It says, awe came upon everyone. Awe. Wow. This, whatever has happened, man, this is it. Awe came on everyone. And because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and good and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, again, hearing the word of God, feeding, getting fed, learning. They broke bread. Oh man, they get to eat again. They broke bread at home and they ate food with their glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. More sheep. Start feeding some sheep. The other sheep start talking. Right? Food. Free over here. Yeah, right? Right? They start talking amongst themselves. Well, Adam, what does this have to do? You've been reading Acts for the last couple weeks. You've been talking about this church in Acts for the last couple weeks. You've been talking about our values and DNA. You've been talking about the DNA, which is our fingerprint of who God made us, and it comes out of this passage. It's a DNA of inclusiveness. Whitewater is an open and diverse community where you can belong before you believe. You can come eat here as a sheep. Before you get dunked. Right? Before you believe. The left out ones are not left out here. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an all week thing, okay? It's how we live our lives. All who are willing to chase after Jesus are welcome. Adam, we heard this. You need to hear it again, sheep. Okay? The other fingerprint on our DNA is love. We love God and others through our compassionate actions towards each other and the world around us. Man, they ate with each other. They hung out with each other. They had all things in common. They were selling their own personal goods to benefit the needs of the people that they were hanging out with. We want to do the same thing. Loving one another in the same way Jesus loves us. Another fingerprint of DNA is transparent authenticity. We practice honesty in our relationships with God and each other. Many of you, God knows who you are, and you know that, and you feel bad about that. And then you come here and think you can fool us. And you don't think leadership cocks your head and said, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, man, it's not a duck. That's a wounded individual. That's a person running. That's a person hiding. That's not our DNA. We practice honesty in our relationships with God and each other through open sharing of strengths and weaknesses as we grow in Christ together. Generosity, we live with an open hand, individually and collectively. We sacrificially share our time, energy, and possessions and money with those inside and outside the sheep pen, inside the church and outside the church. Can you take care of people's needs? Then do it. Another fingerprint is spiritual-led biblical obedience. We look to God in all of these things. Well, my church is in nature. Yeah, God made that. Okay? God made that. Why don't you look to Him, the creator of all things? Find out what He's saying. Jesus, man, do you love me? Yeah. Go feed my sheep. That's spiritual, biblical obedience, spirit-led biblical obedience. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And we do it through spiritual formation, just like as they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. They were in the temple learning. They were praying. They were eating with one another, in communion with one another. They're practicing spiritual disciplines. Fasting. They would take times and fast together. Setting aside a time for God. God, speak. We don't want to be distracted by anything else. We want to hear from you. Spiritual formation. That DNA gives us our identity as Whitewater. Sheep. Our mission here, we are a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. Okay? That's what our DNA says about us. That's what our DNA, there's no other thing that we can do. It dictates that. Now, some of you have ran from it a long time. I did. I was talking to my sister-in-law who went to the same church that I did for all my life. And I said, it was crazy. I went back and it saddened my heart as I sat in a service and I listened to the preacher and he was telling his sheep, he was telling his disciples, go feed sheep. If you love Jesus, you are sheep feeders. I listened to the communion meditation say the exact same thing. And I listened to the giving meditation say the exact same thing. And I counted up the years that I had been there. I had to take off my shoes. I counted up the years that I had been there griping. I don't know why they don't get it. Where's the meat? I sat there dormant. I sat there non-responsive. Adam, do you love me? Well, yeah. Yeah, you're good. I love you. Adam, do you love me? Yeah. I'm good. Adam, do you love me? Not now. They were a community much like us, tasked to feed sheep, move people two steps closer to Jesus. They didn't say it that way. They said it another way, but it was the same concepts. And I, full of head knowledge, probably not even much of that, did nothing with it. We are a community persistently moving. That implies action. The world two steps closer to Jesus. And we lay it out like this. It looks like adventure. It looks like worship. It looks like service, serving others, serving here, serving everywhere we go. If you can meet a need, do so. Dallas Willard, in his book, Hearing God, I posted this on our Facebook page because I know all of you really love Facebook, and all of you have read it by now. In his book, Hearing God, he said, biblical Christians are not just people who hold certain beliefs about the Bible. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. I believe you. Yeah. Biblical Christians are not just people who hold certain beliefs about the Bible. They are also people who lead the kind of life demonstrated in the Bible. A life of personal, intelligent, don't check your brains at the door, God created us as intelligent beings, even though we're stupid a lot of times, right? He created us in His image, and He is a very intelligent being. He created us. So a life of personal, intelligent interaction with God. Anything less than this makes a mockery of the priesthood of the believer. Not the priesthood of believers. Don't shove this off as, well, that's other people, not me. If it's all ideas, and it's all, do you love me? And you're like, yeah, whatever. Take it or leave it. I've been baptized. I'm good. Next side of heaven. That's all I need to focus on. Drudge through this life. If we live like that, it says we'll make a mockery of our priesthood. The task that we've been given, the DNA that we've been given, how it plays out through adventure, worship, community, and service. We make a mockery of that, and people just start looking at that and saying, yeah, I can just leave your God too. It works for you. I can take it or leave it. That's how you live it. Ooh. Making a mockery. We started this God Dreams process. And everything that you have heard for the last several weeks have been leading up to this. Where are we going? You know by now who you are, at least in theory, at least in your brain, at least you've attended or you've listened online, and you've said, yeah, right. I don't know why I shrug every time, but yeah. You got to get the triple chin. Yeah, right? I have a beard, you can't see it, but it's there. You give lip service to it, and you say, yeah, I love you. Well, then, what are you doing about it? Does your life reflect these things? Because we are going places. God has called us to something beyond us in this auditorium. God has called us to people beyond us that we don't even know yet. God has called us to live intelligently in this life. God is calling us to action. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. I want you to close your eyes right now, and we're going to pickpocket you in just a second. I'm kidding. So the person that's really worried about that, you can just close your eyes. It's all good. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to relax. If you find your shoulders are tensed, relax them. If you find your jaw is clenched, that's one of my favorite things to do. Be noticing these things. Just relax. Sit in the quiet. Sit in the darkness. And I'm going to read our vivid description of who Whitewater is and where we are going, where God is calling us to. He's given us our DNA. He's already spoken that into us and into the rest of the churches in this town. He's given us our mission. We've seen how it plays in the most purest form in Acts. We've seen when the Spirit shows up, things happen. But now we have a special call here. As this body, as we join the other bodies in this town, as we join the body of Christ together, but this is our unique fingerprint that we're going to have here and in the world. Just keep your eyes closed. I'm going to read. Water. Over the past 10 years, this community of faith, Whitewater, has founded its existence on the life-giving, cleansing, dangerous, and powerful nature of water. We have navigated the rapids of an adventurous life of faith together and drawn our very name from the experience. Now, today, as we look forward to the time when Whitewater turns 16, our sweet 16, in the year 2025, we are building on that vision and inviting you to join Jesus in the most daring call yet, and that's to walk on water. Over these next 5 years leading up to our sweet 16th birthday celebration, we envision creating an atmosphere where spiritual formation results in leadership multiplication, which creates a cycle that feeds further spiritual formation and multiplication far into the future, beyond us. To achieve that, we see 80% of the people who call Whitewater home acting on that call to get out of the boat. We say 80, we'd love to see 100, but we know that's not true. Because that looks like a church full of Jesus people. To achieve that, we see 80% of the people who call Whitewater home acting on the call to get out of the boat. You've heard it here a lot. What does that mean, to get out of the boat and walk on water? It will look like different things to all of us. To those who are living lives on a stagnant, safe lake, walking on water is a call to adventure. Demolishing the boundaries of comfort and safety to find abundant life in Jesus. To those who are being tossed about by violent waves in their lives, walking on water is an invitation to step into the uncertainty and pain and find Jesus right there in the midst of it. And those who are feeling troubled or anxious, walking on water is a call to deeper experiences of faith and trust. While the specific acts of stepping out of the boat and walking on water are going to look different for everyone, they will all share one thing in common. Getting out of the boat inherently requires action. Movement is not enough to learn about walking on water or to agree that it would be a good idea. Walking on water requires stepping over the side of the boat and eventually taking that step over the side onto the water evolves from a single action into a new lifestyle. That new water walking lifestyle will likely require an upending of the way we do things, individually and communally. As we take greater risks of faith to meet Jesus on the waves, it's no wonder then when Jesus calls Peter onto the water, he did so with the admonition, "Take courage." And he's calling the same thing over the waves to Whitewater today, to you that are here, to you that are listening online. Specifically within our context, in our community, by 2025, we envision walking on the water to look like 50 life transformation groups. I want to pause here. Keep your eyes closed. Stay relaxed. I had lunch with an amazing guy this week and friend. And we spoke about things in honest, candid ways. And he said, "I got to be honest. One of my beefs is this life transformation group push. Because I don't want you telling me what to do." And it's caused a point of contention in my spirit. And I recognize that. But I've been ever since we started this, I've not liked it. I've not felt good about it. Who are you to tell me? And I love the honesty in that conversation. I love the candid nature of that conversation. But that's looking at this life transformation group as something that Adam has initiated and not God. When you look back at our DNA, when you look back at who we are, when you look back at our core values of adventure, worship, community, and service, when you look back into Acts 2, you see that's how it plays out. People in community with one another, sharing life with one another, learning together with one another. We don't think life transformation groups are the end-all, be-all, fix-all. We do see them being biblical. We do see them being something Jesus calls us to. He demonstrated it in a group of 12. So maybe some of you are in that boat today. Man, LTGs, I'm take it or leave it. I don't want it. It's not to give you something to do midweek. It's to get you being in community with one another, looking to Jesus with one another, living like Jesus in your world. So we want to see that. We want to see life transformation groups being started so that 75 or 80% of our congregation can participate in them, knowing and being known by one another as you walk together, strengthened and challenged in deep community. We envision all ministry areas of the church having ministry leaders and an empowered staff of 100 total volunteers propelling the mission of Whitewater forward. Now you're thinking to yourself, well, I see children's, I see coffee bar, I see these other areas that are visible. I don't see a place for me. And well, maybe God's calling you to create a position here and lead in that. Maybe God's calling you to something that we don't even know exists, that we need, that God is asking you to lead out in. That's a beautiful thing. That's a place in the kingdom for you. That's a place where God is calling you specifically. We envision baptizing, at the very least, 100 people. We had 3 baptisms about a month ago that you guys didn't know about because we did it at night. And it was a beautiful time to watch these 3 individuals commit to Jesus. It's happening. We're making it happen. Having 300 people as a part of our community. You're looking around thinking there's a lot of empty seats, and that's true. We have the room. When we first started Whitewater, our ambitious goal was to reach 1% of this community. We're not greedy. We don't want a mega church, even though secretly we did. Right? We wanted to reach 1% of this community, and true 1% is probably 150 people. So we're not too far. But if you count the college students, and we do, you're a huge part of what goes on here. That looks like 300 people. 1%. We see 300 people as a part of this community and having three full-time, fully funded pastors on staff to lead us. We're getting closer to that goal too. We envision unfolding an expression of this Whitewater DNA into everything we do, clearly communicating this vision as well as utilizing it to help define and discern what we do in the future. This is our guardrails. And we envision identifying Whitewater's first church planter. We want to plant out of this. We want to see God's work spread. We want to see another church birthed that looks dangerous like this one, that looks messy like this one, that looks like the fingerprints of God like this one. We don't want to duplicate ourselves. We know Whitewater is unique. But we believe it can be done again by someone else. And we'd love to see someone here that's so hungry for the Word, so hungry and serious about taking Jesus' admonition to feed sheep, so serious that we get to send them out, you out possibly, and plant another church. Someone for whom getting out of the boat means going somewhere with our blessing and support and starting a new community of people who are called to walk on water. Is that you? This call is founded in the original mission of Whitewater to be a community that persistently moves the world two steps closer to Jesus, and it further moves that mission to the next level. It is a call to make your, my next two steps the two steps that will take you over the side of the boat. When you do, not only will you deepen your experience with Jesus, but when your foot hits that water, it will send ripples outward that will affect many others as they are inspired to do the same thing. Life change. Beginning that cycle of spiritual formation and leadership multiplication that never dies but just perpetually goes. Walking on water is not an end in and of itself. We walk on water toward a specific destination, and that's Jesus. And we do it not just for the experience, but so after the experience, we are able to join the disciples on the waves in saying to Jesus in worship, "Truly, you are the Son of God." By Whitewater's 16th birthday in 2025, we envision being a faith community of people who walk on water, grabbing hold of and fulfilling God's dreams for who we can become and how we can love people around us and how He can be glorified in us. Jesus is asking you the question today as He asked the disciples on the beach, as He asked Peter on the beach, "Do you love me?" And if your answer is yes, His response is, "Feed my sheep. Own the DNA that I've given you. Own this lifestyle that I've created and fostered myself with disciples and the people that I've healed and walked with and talked with. Own the Holy Spirit that I've given you and move in it. Persistently move my world that I created two steps closer to me as you live these things out. Do you love me?" God, I'm praying that the answer is yes for every heart in this place today. And not a shoulder shrug, "Yeah, I love you, God." But a life change, yes. A life that looks like inclusiveness. A life that looks like love. transparent authenticity, generosity. A life that's Spirit-led and obedient to what we read in Scripture. God, a life of spiritual formation, and as we allow things like prayer, as we allow things like study, as we allow things like fasting and Bible reading and solitude and engagement with community, God, to shape us. God, that we can move this community persistently two steps closer to you through adventure, community, and worship and service, every aspect of who we are. God, that we wouldn't just be biblical Christians who hold certain beliefs about what we read in the Bible only, but God, that we are the people that lead the kind of life that demonstrated within your word. A life of personal, intelligent interaction with you. God, that for the mockery makers in this room today, if we've been that this whole time, break us. Because you desire every single one of us to be kingdom builders. So God, I pray about our 16th birthday, our sweet 16, and where you're taking us. And I pray about the people in this room taking this mission out into the world, out into Laramie, and making it real. God, give us courage. God, give us courage to move outside of the boat. Give us courage to love as you loved. Give us courage to take on this mission and change the world. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. There's awesome stuff going on all throughout the week. It's in your bulletin. There's a Monday night group that meets, yes. Good and beautiful community study. There is a Tuesday morning group that meets. It's life recovery group called Death Wishes, and that one's specifically for men. There's a Wednesday night group that meets for dinner and community. They eat together. It's weird. It's like it's biblical. There's a Saturday morning group that meets. Two, actually. There's a Saturday morning group that meets Death Wishes for women. Same thing, life recovery group. And then there's a book study that goes on there. All of this stuff is for you. Life transformation groups, start one, be in one, do one. Hate me if you need to. That's okay. There's a lot of stuff going on. Be a part of it. Be a part of this mission. Engage, yes. If anybody wants to know more about this mission specifically and what it looks like to be here and do that, Engage curriculum is happening, or class. Happens today and the next three Sundays that starts at 12:30. I would encourage you to go to all four. Don't skip, don't not be at one of them. But it will help. It will help you. Again, we don't do this stuff because we like it. We do this stuff because God's demanding it of us. Because God's commanding it of us to give away the life that he's given us so freely. So be a part of it. So if you need to sign up for it, if we have some extra people, talk to Craig right here. He's nodding his head and waving his hand. Thanks for standing up. Said all that to say, grace and peace. Come back next week and bring friends, bring people. We have a theater that needs filled. Peace. Oh, we got people to pray with you too, sorry. Katie and Cindy, if you need prayer for anything, come on up.